Okay, you are listening to Baseball Zealot Radio. Happy holidays. Hope you had a happy New Year. We have on the line Sean Lee from Urbana. Sean, Happy New Year.
Hey, thanks, Tom. Happy New Year to you and everybody else.
Hope you good holiday. Hope your family had a nice holiday. Did you get any good baseball presents, or did you give any good baseball presents?
You know, I don't think I got any baseball presents at all. My son got a brand new baseball glove, so
awesome.
That was fun working with that. I don't know if you've ever heard of glove foam
that helps you break
your gloves in. You rub the foam in, you pop it in the oven, and in 5 minutes your glove is broken in.
Yeah, I have heard of that. So how did it work?
It worked. It's unbelievable. Everything is high tech now. Even breaking in your gloves.
Yeah, right. And speaking of your son, I wanted to ask you, how did the baseball clinic go with the University of Illinois baseball team?
Oh, yeah. My son participated in a clinic. It was held right on the University of Illinois campus. It was held by the coaching staff of the Fighting Illini and several of their players.
We spoke to Sean Roof right after that happened, so we mentioned that during the show, and I talked to him before the show, and he asked your name in case he ran into you. But anyway, how did it all go?
It went well. Yeah. Keith has Sean Roof's signature on his shirt.
Awesome.
So it was great. It was a really well put on clinic. Keith said he enjoyed it, and it was a good. It was very good. We're planning on doing it next year too.
Did they go over the fundamentals and that, or what exactly did they cover?
They rotated all the kids around to different stations where they covered on different fundamentals,
right?
Hitting, throwing, a little pitching. They had a little mock field set up, and they had some kind of batting practice. This is all indoors, obviously, because it's December and we're in Illinois. So they crammed all that activity into one big building.
Right.
It was good. Very well done.
Yeah, I know that the players. A lot of the players that I've talked to are real good with the public and they. They're pleasant to talk to, and I can imagine be really good with the kids, and so that's good to hear. I'm happy that
they are
well.
Kids. The players all looked like they were having a good time.
Great.
It wasn't like they had a gun to their head.
Right.
To be there. It was just the opposite.
And speaking of the Illini baseball team, we got a letter from a father of one of the Illini baseball players, the father of Joe Mercurio, and this is a chance to embarrass Joe on the team here. Joe is a catcher. He's the brand new, I think he's a freshman on the team. He's a backup catcher on the Illini team. And Joe's father emailed us after he saw the Baseball Zealot blog, and he heard the interview of Sean on our live show, and he emails us and says, "Hi, I just saw your site as a link from the Big Ten Hardball blog. This was a pleasure to find. I went back through your archives and just kept reading. I got to listen to your interview with Sean Roof. Excellent. As a parent of an Illini parent who is far from home, I will be visiting regularly since your perspective is very interesting as compared to the school site." Thank you very much, Joe. And he ends with, "Sorry for my son's language," and he winks on the emoticon. "Happy New Year, Joe Mercurio." The reason he says sorry for my son's language, back last, I think it was at the Orange and Blue series in the fall, I was watching the one of the games, and Joe, his son, was catching, and was catching a heck of a good game, I must say. And Joe, something came a ball came hit his neck or something, and then he's walking back to the dugout. Swore, he said a bad word to the rest of the player. He wasn't really upset. He just, you know how it is, baseball players, they say a bad word once in a while. And I was one fan that was really sitting right there at the dugout. And a minute later, he comes out really sheepishly and says, hey, sorry about that, man. And he goes back to the dugout. And I was like, hey, you know, no big deal, you know. I thought that was the funniest thing because he just wanted to make sure he didn't offend anyone. And he wasn't like he was upset or anything. He just was, you know, just said a bad word. But, you know, I wrote back to Joe and the father, and I said that I appreciated his comments and that I thought his son was showed some really good signs for being an excellent catcher, and you know, feel free to, you know, listen to the show some more and check out the blog, and we'll be writing some more about the team. So thanks for writing, Joe. And if anyone else wants to write, our email address is feedback@baseballzealotradio.com. Tuesday is when they announce the Baseball Hall of Fame inductees. We covered a lot of that a couple of shows ago. Sean, what do you think about? We covered Ripken and Quinn pretty much. Do you think anyone else has a chance?
Well, it seems like Blylevin's getting a lot more talk.
Yeah, he is.
I think he's got a good chance at what he got, like over 50% last year.
Did he?
Pitcher.
Okay.
I'm
hearing a lot of talk of like a lot of the relievers that might get a lot of votes, like Gossage and maybe Lee Smith. I don't know. I just keep reading articles, and they mention their names.
All the talk seems to be about McGuire, and
yeah, I know.
I saw some informal polls that say he's not going to have near enough to get this year.
I don't think he ever really did, but I think a lot less people are going to vote for him than they said they were, maybe, you know, 2 or 3 months ago. I think he'll still get the 5% to keep him on the ballot, but that's just the way it's going to work, I think.
If anybody out there is subscribed to the ESPN Insider and has access to Rob Nyer's articles, I don't mean to send people away from the zealot, Tom, but...
No, that's fine.
Nyer's got a real good perspective on the Hall of Fame in the last article I read from him, so...
Is that a subscriber article? Do you have to be...
Yeah.
You do,
yeah,
okay.
He used to be free, now it's a paid subscription. Oh, to his stuff.
They reel you in, and then they make you pay.
he's kind of brings up the argument that if, once you go in the Hall of Fame, you're not as famous as you were than before you get in.
Uh-huh.
He's talking about this with Blylevin, how everybody knows everything, all there is to know about Blylevin, because he's like on the cusp.
Right.
He's been on the cusp for a while. Whereas somebody who gets elected, they're in the Hall of Fame and they're more easily forgotten about.
That's interesting idea. I don't know. I'm not sure if I buy it or not. But I think it's also easy to forget someone who is, I guess, someone who's off the ballot, and then someone who could be. Who's not on the ballot anymore, and maybe he may be possibly picked up on by the Veterans Committee, but you know, getting on the Blylevin issue, I said this before, I'm a big Blylevin, you know, person. I think the Blylevin has stats, and sometimes I think he almost makes his case a little bit too much on during his interviews, and when people do that, I think that almost hurts their case a little bit, but. The only other person I can think that may have a choice is Jim Rice, and I really, he's on the edge for me, you know, one way or another. I can see I can see how he was a very dominant hitter for, you know, 4 years, 5 years. But I can, you know, and then I pick up a Bill James book and think, oh yeah, there he goes, double plays and the strikeouts. And so I'm not sure.
Apparently, Jim Rice, he was dominant, but apparently he fell from prominence pretty quickly towards the end of his career.
Right.
I don't remember the end of his career, but I heard people say that that kind of counts against him, is that he,
right,
being dominant to a non-factor.
Yeah, he pretty much, his career went skyrocketed and then it fell just as fast, I think. But I was writing on a blog, just actually, I think it was this morning, there were some people who are making, really voting against Rice because he was, you know, surly with the media and was moody. You know, I hate when people do that, you know, because he's moody. You know, that's because he's a moody guy. Give him that. Give him a break. I mean, I honestly don't care for people who are extremely cheerful, you know, with the media, because I never know if they're being that way because they're cheerful or because they want to score points with the media, you know.
Right.
Give the guy a break. And especially since he had, I've read some articles about how, you know, the Boston atmosphere at the time was a little tense with, you know, racial issues, and give the guy a break, huh? Anyway, that whole interview, and I read the article on the blog. I had a frustrating time with that interview. But
isn't it mostly the press that do the voting?
Yeah. So that's why.
Yeah, I mean,
they're frustrated with him.
It's going to hurt you in the Hall of Fame voting,
right,
for sure. At least for a period of time.
Exactly. I mean, that they don't like how he's being, now they're history-ing their own, but quite honestly, some of the media, some of the baseball or sports media, you know, I don't blame him for not being so nice to some of the sports reporters out there. They're not exactly, you know, sweet to the players themselves either. So,
well, Albert Bell, I mean,
yeah, right.
We'll see how he does.
I don't think he'll do. I don't think he'll do so hot. I've always been a closet Albert Bell fan. So 2 weeks from now, I'll be at the Cubs convention. I'm very excited about that. I just heard that Alfonso Soriano will be there. I'm not sure in what capacity, but they have promised that at least he will be there. That will be exciting. He just had a son too. His wife just had a baby boy over the holidays.
Wow!
So I guess she's letting him off diaper duty, I think. Yeah, right.
That'll be good to see him.
Oh, I know.
I've never seen him play.
No, I've not either. This will be fun. I'm not sure how. I've never been to one of these conventions before. I'm not sure how close up, you know. I assume, you know, you can always hear them talk or, you know, things like that. But, you know, how.
Just hang out in the bathroom, Tom.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, I can.
He's got to go sometime.
He's got to go sometimes, yeah. So, what's your take on the hot stove action lately?
Looked like they starting to close the book on the Randy Johnson deal.
Yeah. What do you think about that as a Yankees fan, huh? You think that better off without him?
Good for the Yankees. That's all I have to say.
I was just thinking. I was checking out the news before the show, and you can never find a good picture of Randy Johnson, especially when he's pitching. And I realize he's not the cutest pitcher out there, but, you know, my God, he is ugly. And when he's pitching, you know, all pitchers have their faces are contorted in a certain way. Oh my God, he looks like he's from another world. Oh my God, I know why I got that guy.
Yeah, not the most handsome player in the world.
Now Barry Zito, that's different. He's a little, he he can pass for, you know, an actor or whatever. But oh my god! Anyway, getting back to the Johnson here. You think that? I don't think that the Yankees were sad to see Johnson go at all, because I think I checked his stats out for the Yankees. He kind of got progressively worse each year. Is that right?
Yeah. He did, you know, and that was almost to be expected given his age.
Yeah. Do you think it got worse for the Diamondbacks, or do you think maybe a change of pace might help?
I think he'll be better. I think he will improve.
Right.
Over his performance over the past couple of years, being back in Arizona, he lives right there. Apparently, he lives like 10 miles from.
Oh, does he?
From the state. Yeah, okay. He lives right there, and I think he'll improve. But I don't think he's gonna obviously get back to the form he used to be in when he was there before. So, I'm not sure what the Diamondbacks are expecting from him performance-wise.
Right.
I thought it was just a shrewd move by Brian Cashman to make that deal and get what he could for him. And they're only on the hook for a couple million dollars.
Yeah, I was going to say, they'll have to pay a couple million, but yeah, you're right. They're off the hook for all that and basically, Arizona's going to have to eat what they thought they had gotten rid of, right? Basically, because it's their own money, right?
Right.
that actually was pretty good at Cashman. Cashman's, I guess he's not the GM for Yankees for nothing, right?
And then looking at the way he's going to get paid from that his new contract, it's pretty heavily. Loaded on the back end, he's going to get like $4 million this year and $10 million in 2008.
Right.
And then he's got a signing bonus that they split up over. They're going to pay that out over 4 years. So he's got a lot of money coming to him in 2008, especially.
Right.
And then a couple years there after that. So I don't know. It frees up a lot of money for the Yankees. We'll see what they do.
Sure.
The rumor is going to go after Clemens, maybe. Yeah, we'll see.
Right. Yeah, I've heard rumors that Clemens may follow Pettit over to the Yankees. Is that something you would like as a Yankees fan, or would you just assume that, like, Clemens stay away from your team?
Personally, I'm done with Clemens.
Okay.
Tired of the annual Clemens watch,
the saga,
and the Clemens and Pettit buddy buddy stuff.
Right,
that's great. They're good friends, but
they're golfing buddies. Yeah,
they are. They're really close friends.
Right.
He's
got to have at least one, right? Sorry. Yeah, so I kind of feel the same way. I know the Cubs have no interest or wouldn't really have the dough right now to get Clemens. But even if they could, you know,
if he does come back and play for the Yankees, I hope it's in April.
Right. Yeah.
I hope it's not like put off again until like June or July.
You hope he be a team player and not a employee. So Barry Zito has come to the Giants, and I actually had a clip from his press conference. Let's take a listen to that right now.
Barry, how much of this was financially driven, and how much had to do with just staying in the Bay Area?
Well, I think what happened is, Scott came to me and he said, the Giants are very interested, and at that point, with just really mulling over everything that the Bay Area has to offer and everything that we had learned through meeting with everyone, sitting up here back in L.A., I just said, Scott, let's go for it. Let's give him the go. And at that point, there really were no figures thrown out. It was just, hey, the Giants are really interested. What do we got going here? And I said, let's go. Let's do it. And, it really rings true with my soul now, my heart, to be back here and to be back in the Bay and, excited to come up here and live. And, so I think it was you know, the impetus was really on both sides. It wasn't just a financial matter.
So do you buy that? Do you buy the ring true with his soul and his heart, and he wants to be, you know, play across the bay, and they haven't taught financial matters, and or is he in it for just the money?
So it sounds like from his story, the Giants called and they said they were interested, and Barry said, absolutely, I'm interested. I want to be a Giant. Okay, now let's talk money.
Right. That's the way I hear. I'm sure there was more to it than that, but that's what I hear from the press conference.
Yeah, it's really hard to believe.
Right, yeah.
It really is.
And it's very, very convenient that the Giants offered, $126 million for 7 years, and what a coincidence, huh?
Well, yeah, that's convenience for you.
And I'm sure that Scott Boras had nothing to do with all that, too, so, yeah.
Oh. Yeah, no, Scott Boras is kind of behind-the-scenes guy. Yeah. We all know that.
No, that's what makes him so good. I'm positive is that Scott Boras, whenever you hear about any of this, or and I have this thing about listening to press conferences, because I listen to baseball radio daily, and they have all the press conferences for all the big guys. You never see his face, you never hear his voice. He's always in the background, and that's what makes him so good. His job is to stay in the background and stay out of sight. And that's why he does his job so well.
He does give in to the occasional interview, though.
Well, I love the
interview. I have seen him interviewed before on ESPN and elsewhere. He's not totally shy with the press, I don't think.
Okay.
But, you know, like you said, I think he picks and chooses. He's not somebody who's going to and become more popular than his clients, obviously. That's definitely not his job. But on the other side of the coin, I don't think he's, you know, a little quiet mouse either.
Is he the agent for Supan?
I'm not sure on that one.
All right. So Supan went to the Brewers. I thought that was a good pickup for the Brewers. Supan is like 35, 36, but I think that puts them over the top. I think that they have a good chance now in El Central.
They've got so he'll be with the number three guy behind Sheets and Capuano. Take it. That's a good top three.
I mean, let's put it this way. I'm scared as a Cubs fan. That makes me a little bit worried. And I'm sure the Cardinals fans are a little bit worried too.
Yeah, they've been really, really quiet.
Right.
They nailed Carpenter down, which is something they had to do. I think they're like a bunch of other teams. They're approaching this off season very realistically, with not getting caught up in the money, just kind of hanging back and waiting for deals that seem more reasonable.
Kind of like the Yankees, huh? I was going to say, it's really kind of like the Yankees in a way. Because the Yankees have been playing it sort of, I think, responsibly this year. And it's done them well.
For the most part, yeah. They signed Pettit. Might have given him too much money, but hey, he's a Yankee. I mean,
but yeah, he's a good quality starter. And he left-handed, right? And, is that right?
It brings back a certain element to the clubhouse too. Right. The Yankees are missing.
What is the story with Melky Cabrera?
Supposedly he's the odd man out.
Right.
Possibly. It depends on Bernie Williams's situation is still a little up in the air.
Oh, it is. I thought he had retired.
I don't think he's officially retired yet.
Okay. I told someone the other day he retired. I better tell him. I better set that story straight.
No, I don't think that's been official.
Okay.
I think he's still hoping to play.
Right.
For the Yankees, and there's only one. There's going to be too many guys and not enough roster spots.
Right.
And Melky Cabrera might be the odd guy out, possibly. I hope he's not.
Possible trade bait?
It's possible.
I only ask because Melky Cabrera is in our APA rookie draft this year, and I'm looking for some young outfielders. So
he's a good number three outfielder to have, and
right.
Definitely be an awesome number four outfielder for any team.
Right. All my outfielders in my team are long in the tooth. I picked up Johnny Gomes last year, but he's I don't know if he's working out.
Is he hurt?
Well, he had a great rookie year, but then last year he batted like 210, 220 with a move to a strikeouts, and he hit like 20 home runs, but I just don't know that his numbers aren't what I thought they'd be. He may work out. He may have been a sophomore slump or something like that. But there are, last year there were a fair amount of rookies that are going to be in our rookie draft that I think had a fair amount of, that had really good numbers, I think. Luke Scott, Chris Duncan, Nick Markakis, they all had some, they didn't have break superstar years, but I think they all had solid years, and I think they got some potential, so.
Yeah.
They're the ones I'm looking at. Anyway, that's just my issue. anything else on the hot stove burning that we need to turn off?
Can't think of anything real big.
Nothing. I guess Mark Mulder, he's still available if you want to take a chance on him. It's hard to believe that just a few years ago he was one of the top hurlers in the majors, and I think I even remember when his numbers started going down, actually the ERA started going up, and a friend of mine said, I wonder if he's having some injury issues. And this was, before it started, like three years ago. And then it wasn't until, I think, last year that it actually come out that he indeed had, he officially, did it actually come out in the press. He did have injury issues. So now he has, I think he has something left to contribute. But boy, I tell you, I'm not sure if he'll get the.
He's had a long history of injury. Was he with the A's?
Yeah, I think it started with the A's. But boy, since he got to the Cardinals. He has not been able to contribute. He had a 7.7 ERA this year. I mean, he didn't pitch a whole lot either, but
yeah, he was terrible.
And I think he just needs to get to whatever it is fixed. I think that if they can, he may be able to have a good year. That's the only thing.
Rumor on Weaver is that the Mets might make him an offer.
The Mets need to get somebody. That's for sure. I mean, I can't see them going with what they have right now. I mean, the big rumor was that they were going to get Zito, and I think that Manaea was. I think I heard some quote saying that they were not going to give a contract to Zito for that longer period, and that may be the new. Financially responsible way of doing things, which they still need a pitcher to help out the rotation, because I don't think they can't do it with what they have right now.
We'll see if Pedro comes back.
Yeah, that's
how he comes back.
Right. I think we're going to close the show. It's going to be kind of a short show today, but I do want to say that we do have a couple of really good shows coming up. Next week we'll have Sean Foreman as a guest on our show. Sean is the creator and webmaster for baseballreference.com. If you have not heard of baseballreference.com, it is a pretty incredible, I think, baseball stats website. And check it out. It is www.baseball-reference.com. I could say all I could about it, but I would just recommend that you check it out. Sean Foreman is the basically created and maintains the website, and we have him on. He's going to tell us a little bit about that and what how it came into existence. I think it'll be a very interesting interview. The week after that, I'll be at the Cubs convention, so I will probably not have a show. But I think after that, I'll probably come back and talk about it. So that'll be hopefully interesting. We'll find out about that. If you want to email us, once again, the email address is feedback@baseballzealotradio.com. John, any last words?
No, it was a pleasure, Tom. Good show.
Yeah, thanks. And we I want to say hi to Todd and Ted out there. Sorry you couldn't join us. All right, I will see you guys later. I'll see you next week. Bye-bye.